Welcome to our Palm Sunday service. It marks the beginning of what is commonly known as the Passion Week. Many of you have been working through some studies in small groups or even fasting or doing certain things during the whole period of Lent. And we are coming towards the conclusion of that as we enter into this Passion Week. And it's a busy week for churches, because in this coming week there are so many services, for one. But I hope that they are not just rituals that we go through, but rather each has specific meaning and application in our lives. And we bring it to what I would consider the high point, the climax of our Christian faith, which is what I call Resurrection Sunday, which is where Christ shown that He has conquered death and He has given us life eternal. Also, the last few weeks, if you may recall, we have been covering a series of teaching and preaching in the area of what are the things that we need to major on as God's people. We started back in the Sunday on the 5th of March. We looked at having a Christ-centered life. Christ-centered life. Then on the 12th of March, we look at life in the Spirit, how the Holy Spirit dwells in each of our lives and empower and work through our lives. And then the following Sunday, we look at how the power of the Holy Spirit can work in our lives individually as well as a body of Christ. Last Sunday, we look at some fruit, and some of you share the kind of fruit that you like to have. And of course, more importantly, it's about the fruit of the Spirit that we need to have, as well as the gifts of the Spirit that we need to have both for ourselves and within our church. And today, I have chosen to talk about the announcing kingdom, which is about the arrival of the King, which is in fitting with the Palm Sunday, the whole theme about how Christ entered into Jerusalem. What took place when Jesus entered Jerusalem? Written in Matthew, we have just heard, is to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet many, many years ago. See, the King comes to you gentle, riding on a donkey and on a coat and foal of a donkey. I know we don't have so much this tradition, but other churches may even bring a live donkey as part of the Palm Sunday. Others may do a mash of something, you know, that looks a bit like a donkey, but maybe not fully like a donkey. With the coming of Christ, the kingdom, God's kingdom, begins not at the coronation of a mighty king, but in the birth of a crying baby. That is the beginning of God's kingdom. The crying baby on Christmas Day, the King came into the world. And Jesus announces in Mark chapter 1, He said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." That is the crux of God's kingdom coming into the world, into the lives of many, that we are to repent and to believe. And Jesus' departing words before His ascension was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This is both a call and a mandate to kingdom building, and also to kingdom announcing, which is what we are talking about today. God is at work always to draw people to himself. God uses people, that is you and I, to lead others to Jesus. God continually calls us into the work of evangelism, of outreach to others. We are to be kingdom-minded and having a kingdom heart for the purpose of building God's kingdom. Purpose individually as a follower of Christ, but also together as a church. So in a nutshell, today really is talk about announcing kingdom as it was in those times. In a nutshell, it's about evangelism. It's about reaching out to people with the gospel in growing God's kingdom. The responsibility of evangelism is all Christians. The goal of evangelism is to help people to turn to Jesus. The message of evangelism is that salvation is found through Christ. The method of evangelism is the Word of God, which is alive and powerful. And the power of evangelism is the Holy Spirit. That's why the past few weeks we have been looking at this different area to bring us to this point about kingdom announcing and establishing the kingdom of God. I'm going to ask a very possibly contentious question, and I hope you may understand why I ask that question. We ask, will God send new people to our church? Will God send new people to our church? Why do I ask that question? Because study has shown that, not just in New Zealand, but many study have shown that only 2% of churches are prepared for first-time visitors. That's pretty low to my liking. If there are hundreds and thousands of people in our community that don't go to church but need to, why doesn't God send them to our churches? Do we just sit and wait and hope that something will happen? Or could it be that we aren't as well prepared as we think we are? How can we be better prepared of announcing the kingdom and extending God's kingdom? How can we lead people to Christ? How to help people to stay? Evangelism is not just one outreach and it's done. Start small and work on it every week, every month, and it's a continuous work. This, my brothers and sisters, is what we need to do. Some people call it the ripple effect. You know how you dip the finger in a very calm pool and it starts small, but slowly it spreads. That is a kind of ripple effect we like to see happening in ourselves and in our church. So let me share with you a few things in this area of kingdom building, announcing, and evangelism particularly. Firstly, we need to pray like an evangelist. That's why you have heard me from time to time highlighting the importance of committing in prayers. We need to pray like an evangelist. How do you pray like an evangelist? Well, evangelists are God's spokesperson or people preaching the simple gospel, not necessarily the latest, the greatest, the brand new flavor of the week. But praying is the one that underpins all evangelistic work and all evangelists. Pray how to communicate the gospel clearly and engaging in spiritual conversation in our everyday life. That's basically what we need. I'm not giving you a magical wand or formula. Just ask and pray that every day we have opportunity to speak the word of God, to act on the word of God, and communicate to that clearly and engaging way. Second thing, this ripple effect we can do is that evangelists are God's marketers. Now, I know some people think that marketers are not good people. They try to push product to us. But let's take the more positive side of it. Evangelists are God's marketer and advertising agency to God's kingdom, if I may borrow those terms. So we need to pray on how to share our faith in a life-giving, non-threatening way with those around us. That's what the marketers do. They think how we can send a message in the best possible way. And therefore, we as Christians, we need to be like an advertiser and a marketer to say how we can communicate that message clearly, powerfully, and helpfully. The third one about evangelists is that we are Navy SEALs. You didn't think about that, did you? We are actually Navy SEALs who are the first to head into the enemy territory and front lines of the battle for lost souls. Pray on how to rescue people from their bondage and from the possibility of not being there in God's paradise, and introduce them to kingdom purpose. Pray that we are like Navy SEALs. The fourth one, evangelists are farmers. Some of you enjoy gardening and you reap and you enjoy the fruit of your labor in your gardens. Evangelists are farmers who plow the ground, sow spiritual seed, and reap a harvest of souls. That's what we need to do within the community that we are part of. Plow the ground, connect with people, your neighbors and others, and engage yourself in different activities in the community so that we can engage them in meaningful ways. If God did it in the past, He can do it again. He can inspire and equip our church to be light and salt in our community, to be the light and salt in our Waystown community and beyond. Light and salt can make the form of random acts like kindness, next door events, partnering with local agency and groups. Equipping involves learning how to speak the name of Jesus and show His mercy in our community. We can invite people in our community to come to our church activities. We may think that our community could show up at our doorstep, but that's the problem. If we don't invite them, they don't necessarily turn up at our doorstep. We make our church a place where people want to come back to, not just for once, not just twice, but they will want to come back and stay and be part of our church community. We need to use what God has put in our congregation and each one of us to make our church an attractive place to be. Thousands of people in our community are looking to solve a felt need in their life. They just don't know our church has a solution. So we need to show and tell them that we have the solution in Christ Jesus, that they can meet their felt needs when they encounter Jesus. New people are coming to our church because of their felt need or other reason as well. But do we have the solution in place to help those who come through our doors? We may be very comfortable and enjoy in what we are doing ourselves, but others with no prior exposure to our church or even the Anglican liturgy or other ways that we do things in our church, they may even find it difficult at times. The liturgy, the book, the style, and so on. How may we as people move from being self-centric to others-centric? And the last one, the last thing we can do is to follow up with people. It's one thing to invite people to come, but it's another thing to actually connect with people, to make friends with people, to continue the fellowship as we're supposed to be as a body of Christ. We need to follow up with people who join us. It is about investing in people's lives. It's about discipling one another. That's why we have small groups and other ways where people can come together and disciple one another and be connected with one another. Some of these may seem elementary, but the reason I want to say all these things is to remind ourselves. Sometimes it's these basic things that make things happen, that we need to continue to do and do them well. So, dear brothers and sisters, in closing, going back to this ripple effect, are you prepared to put your finger in it? To put your finger in the pond, in the water, and stir up the water and create a ripple so that that ripple be used for the purpose of announcing kingdom. That's our call, and that's our invitation, and that's also our mandate. You can all be good evangelists, trust me, really, just simply by sharing your life with others, by reaching out to people, by talking about Jesus if and when there is opportunities. That's all we need to do. Be who we are and be real and genuine to others, and simply just share our lives with others. So dear friends, please put your finger in the water. Could you?